Monday, June 25th, City Council meeting to order. We'd like to excuse the mayor. He is out of town this evening. I'm Vice Mayor Claudia Walters, and he's asked me to conduct the meeting in his absence. We'll begin with an invocation by Pastor David Land of the New Life Assembly of God Church. We really appreciate Pastor Land being with us this evening. He will be followed by a Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by Keir Ashby of Troop 594. If you would please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the pledge.
Heavenly Father, it is a joy and an honor to be a part of a government that gives us free voice and free will. Lord, I recognize that any person that is called in a leadership position will always be in the seat of criticism and comment. We pray, O Lord God, that this meeting this evening will be according to your will. And we pray that your blessings will be upon our mayor as he is out of town, our vice mayor as she conducts this council meeting, our council members. I pray that your blessing would be upon them and that they would seek your face for the good of this city and for its people, for what we need in America today, from the White House to the City Hall, are leaders that will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and will seek your face. Father, bless this time and bless our city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Keir, you just want to join us up here at the microphone? Come on up.
Uh-huh. Do I
face the flag? Okay. Right here? Mm-hmm. You're good.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. That's not as easy as it looks because you feel like you're turning your back on everybody, but you did a good job. And Pastor Land, we certainly appreciate your taking the time to be here this evening. We now have recognition of the outgoing board and committee members. These are people who have served the city of Mesa over the course of the last several years, and we want to recognize them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down and stand by the podium, and Councilmember Jones will read names and talk about what they've done.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. The city of Mesa is fortunate to have so many residents who care a great deal about our community. In fact, they care so much that they sacrifice a great deal of their time, talent, and energy to help make Mesa even better. Serving on one of Mesa's 21 citizen advisory boards or committees is a great way to get involved in governance. Recently, I had the privilege of chairing the Mesa 2025 Financing the Future Committee. And that committee was faced with the arduous task of thoroughly examining the city's financial structure. It was no small feat, but the citizens who served on that committee were dedicated to Mesa's success and were willing to work hard to identify solutions to keep Mesa moving forward. Like the board and committee members we will honor today, they stepped up to the plate and became active participants in their government. I also just notice out in the audience, I have Denise out there who was working for the city at the time and staffed that committee so ably. Thank you, Denise. On June 21st, this council approved the appointment and reappointment of 58 board and committee members. Now we would like to take time to honor 14 individuals who have completed their terms on particular boards and thank them for their dedicated service. Not all of those being honored could be with us tonight, but if you are here, please come up to the podium as I read your name and receive your award from Vice Mayor Walters. Our first committee member to be recognized is Pete Berzins from the Design Review Advisory Board, serving since July of 2003. Next, we have Dave Richens, the Design Review Advisory Board, serving since July of 2004. All right.
Dave is out of town.
Dave's out of town. Then we have Mike Garcia, Economic Development Advisory Board, serving since August of 2001. Then Pat Schroeder, Economic Development Advisory Board since July of 2001. Is Pat here? All right, thank you, Pat. Then we have Lane Burdick of the Historic Preservation Committee since July of 2004. Next, we have Joan Rufnak from the Judicial Advisory Board since September of 2001. Okay. Next is Sharon Correa, Library Advisory Board since September of 2005. Is Sharon here? No? All right. Maria Mancinas, the Library Advisory Board since July of 2001. Then we have Laurent Teichman, Museum and Cultural Advisory Board since July of 2001. It's vacation time. A lot of people are out of town. Then we have E. Leroy Brady, Parks and Recreation Board since July of 2001. Thank you, Leroy. Next is Alex Finter, Planning and Zoning Board since July of 2003. Then Carol Michelle Ferrante, Self-Insurance Board of Trustees, since July of 2003. Okay. David Glass, Transportation Advisory Board, since January of 1999. Thank you. And then we have Don Grant, Transportation Advisory Board, since January of 1999. Is Don here? All right. Then our thanks to all of you for donating your time and talent. Together, these 14 residents have volunteered more than 72 years of community service to the city of Mesa, and some of them are now serving on new boards. Let's give all of them a round of applause, and thank you.
Thank you, Kyle, and thank you to all of you for your service. You know, these folks don't get paid. They give a lot of hours, and it really makes a difference to help us make better decisions. So thank you very much for all of your service. All right, it's time for us to have the consent agenda. Kim, you're going to come up and read that, and while you're doing that, let me remind everyone that if you came and there's something that is on the consent agenda and you wanted to speak on that item, you need to get a blue card right now and turn it in, because otherwise there will be one motion that will take place and it will be all voted on, and then the consent agenda will be approved. So if you want to do that, you need to do it now while Kim is reading. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Vice Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 11, take action on ordinance and resolution modifying terms and conditions for sale of utility services. Item 12, take action on ordinance and resolution modifying fees and charges for financial services operations. Item 14A, take action on person transfer bar license for Arizona Golf Resort, 425 South Power Road. Item 14B, take action on person and location transfer beer and wine bar license for Apache Wells Country Club. Item 14C, take action on person and location beer and wine bar license for UB's Restaurant and Bar. Item 14D, take action on new beer and wine store license for 7-Eleven, 839 South Stapley Drive. Item 14E, take action on new beer and wine store license for 7-Eleven, 1155 South Country Club Drive. Item 14F has been deleted. Item 14G, take action on new restaurant license for Long Wong's, 1455 South Stapley Drive, Suite 2324. Item 15B, take action on contract for one full-size SUV, $38,414.22. Item 15C, take action on contract for one container carrier truck, $99,810.66. Item 15D, take action on three-year supply contract for spray marking paint, $47,932.55 annually. Item 15E, take action on contract for two GPS surveying systems, $50,731.33. Item 15F, take action on contract for roof improvements and HVAC replacement, $486,750. Item 15G, take action on contract for Desert Wells number 22, 11144 East Elliott Road, $946,691.90. Item 15H, take action on contract for City Council Chambers Building, standby and cooling plant generator, $359,260. Item 15I, take action on contract for miscellaneous HVAC projects, $1,436,824.40. Item 15J, take action on contract for concrete replacement of fire station number 209, $36,806.22. Item 15K, take action on contract for re-roof of East Mesa Service Center Traffic Operations Building, $75,335.32. Item 16A, introduce ordinance for July 2nd, zoning case Z07-53, 9107 East Southern Avenue for a retail building. Item 16B, introduce ordinance for July 2nd, amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 17A has been deleted. Item 17B, take action on resolution for an intergovernmental agreement with Maricopa County Library District. Item 17C, take action on resolution for design and construction of power road improvements. Item 17D, take action on resolution to extinguish an easement at 7326 and 7320 East Abilene Avenue. Item 17E, take action on resolution to extinguish a portion of public utilities and facilities easement at 257 South Power Road. Item 717F, take action on resolution to extinguish a drainage easement at 3850 East Huber Street, Unit 1. Item 17G, take action on resolution to extinguish a portion of the public utility and facilities easement at 1804 West Main Street. Item 17H, take action on resolution to execute an agreement for Dobson and Guadalupe intersection improvements. Item 17I, take action on resolution to execute an agreement for Southern Avenue and Stapley Drive intersection improvements. Item 17J, take action on resolution to execute an agreement for McKellips and Valvista Greenfield Higley improvements. Item 17M, take action on resolution for boundary modifications for the general purpose foreign trade zone number 221. Item 19, take action to approve the grass to xeriscape program. Item 20A, take action on ordinance to amend the Mesa City Code pertaining to the landscape rebate program. Item 20B, take action on ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance pertaining to fees for planning services. Item 20C, take action on ordinance to amend the Mesa City Code pertaining to residential development tax. Item 20D, take action on ordinance zoning case Z06-97, 11,000 East Pecos Road for industrial office warehouses. Item 20E, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-38, 129 North Alma School Road for a residential subdivision. Item 20F, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-42, 9641 East Hampton Avenue for two medical office buildings. Item 20G, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-44, 11537 East Warner Road for an indoor self-storage facility and retail center. Item 20H, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-45, 10630 East Pecos Road for building materials distribution area. Item 20I, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-46, 6756 East Albany Street for an office building. Item 20J, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-47, 10600 East Southern Avenue for a retail shopping center. Item 20K, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-49, 1166 North Alma School Road for a hotel and restaurant pad. Item 20L, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-50, 14207 South Power Road for retail buildings to include a Goodwill store. Item 20M, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-54, 1300 East Baseline Road for self-storage building. Item 23A, take action on subdivision plat map of dedication for Parkwood Ranch Marketplace, 1100 South Prisman Road. Item 23B, take action on subdivision plat, townhomes at Brownwood Condominium, 737 East Brown Road. Item 23C, take action on subdivision plat, Augusta Marketplace, 2700 South Prisman Road. Item 23D, take action on subdivision plat, Cabrillo Point, a condominium, 960 North Orange. Item 23D, take action on subdivision plat, Eggs Place, 1200 South Sossaman Road. Vice Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Okay, I need to make note of two items. One is that 14F was withdrawn, so that's off the agenda. And also, I didn't hear 18 read into the agenda, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it in, which is to take action on an ordinance and resolution repealing the existing personnel rules applicable to City of Mesa employees and adopting new personnel rules. Were there any requests to remove any of these items from the agenda?
There are not, Vice Mayor, so the record can stand as read.
Okay, and I just want to reconfirm Ms. Spinner, and I should have asked this in study session downstairs. When it comes to converting something into a condominium under state law, I really don't have any possibility other than to vote for approval of an apartment that's being converted into a condominium. Is that not correct?
Vice Mayor, you cannot impose additional requirements on a condominium that is being transferred from or transposed from an apartment complex into a condominium complex.
So there's no point in my pulling it off the consent agenda, even though I don't agree with it. All right. Are there any items that anyone else wanted to pull off the consent agenda? Anyone up here? All right. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, a second by Councilmember Griswold. If you would all please vote. The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor absent. All right. We're going to page 2. Item 2.1, which is to discuss and take action on the appointment of Kerry Kent as Deputy City Manager. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. It is my pleasure to introduce Kerry Kent as a new Deputy City Manager for the City of Mesa, recommending her to the City Council. I think it's important for the Council to know that we did go through a national search to fill the Deputy City Manager's position. We had candidates from Florida to California, which some of you had a chance to meet. So it was a coast-to-coast look. And at the end of having that chance to look at a variety of different candidates, I'll tell you that Kerry really stood out as one who really had a passion and a love for the city, and has really, I think, a proven track record of being successful at going into a variety of different areas in the city and being successful. She began, and I believe you've now, Kerry, it's been 13 years with the city. Is that pretty close? Beginning working in the solid waste department, working as an assistant director of development services. And then recently appointed her back in November of 2006 as our neighborhood services director. And I think we have all seen quite a growth in that area, and we certainly have seen the strength of that department as it's grown and taken on a lot of projects that I think are important to the council and relating to neighborhoods and getting out into the neighborhoods. So I would like to recommend, I guess is what we're doing here, appointment of Kerry Kent as Deputy City Manager, and do so with full confidence that she can do a great job for the city. And we look forward to bringing her into the city manager's office. As I mentioned earlier, it was interesting as that office came, the deputy city manager's office that came available was the one next to mine. I kept trying to convince all the other deputy city managers this is the opportunity for them to move in closer next to the city manager, and none of them took it up. So it'll be Kerry's privilege to have the office next to the city manager. So anyway, again, we're excited to have Kerry and be promoted as a deputy city manager. So, Vice Mayor, that's my recommendation. And obviously, Kerry's here and has members of her family with her here tonight, too.
Well, I think what we'll do is, I think we'll first vote to make sure that we've got the approval of the council. And after we do that, we'll invite Kerry to come up. And assuming approval, we'll invite her to come up. All right, I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Griswold. Is there any council discussion on this item? All right, would you please vote? The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor abstaining because he's out of town. I'm not abstaining. The mayor absent, which is different than abstaining, Kerry. So congratulations, and please join us.
Thank you.
thank you. I just wanted to take a moment to thank Vice Mayor and City Council, and of course Chris and Debbie, for their confidence in me with this opportunity. I really look forward to this new role and for continuing to serve Mesa as I have the last 13 years. Thank you to my family and friends who've been very supportive during my career endeavors, especially during this process. A lot of family and friends in the audience, my family, my mom, Barbara, my daughter, Morgan, and my husband, Stuart. So I appreciate having them here today and for all the support from my fellow coworkers and friends who are in the audience today. So thank you very much for this opportunity again.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And it was nice you brought some old employees back. It's good to see them here. All right, moving on to item number 3, which is to conduct a public hearing concerning the 5-year capital improvement program for fiscal years ending 2008 through 2012. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
All right, does any council member want to speak on this item? All right, then I will declare the public hearing closed for this item, and we will move on to number 4, which is to conduct a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2007-2008 budget plan. Were there requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
All right. I actually have requested a short presentation on this, but maybe where are we voting on this?
The special.
Vice Mayor, you will recess the regular council meeting.
Thank you. It's on the next page. That's why I can't find it on this page. Thank you for the reminder. And I think maybe that's when we'll do the presentation, is at that point in time. So if there are no comments at this time, we'll declare the public hearing closed on that, and we'll move on to item number 5. Which is to conduct a public hearing concerning water, wastewater, natural gas, solid waste, electric energy cost adjustment factor, rate components, fees, and or service charges increases. Are there requests to speak on this item?
No speakers, Vice Mayor.
All right. Are there council members who wanted to speak on this item? All right. Then I'm going to declare this public hearing closed. And we'll move on to item number 6, which is to take action on an ordinance and resolution modifying water rate schedules and charges as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee and the Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. Do I have a motion? I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, and I have a second by Councilmember Summers. Were there any requests to speak on this particular item?
None, Vice Mayor.
Did I have any council members who wanted to speak on this item? All right, seeing none, would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes, the council member Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. Moving on to item number 7, which is to take action on an ordinance and resolution modifying rates for wastewater utility services as recommended by the Audit and Finance Committee and the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I have a motion for approval by council member Jones, and a second by council member Whalen. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right. Did anyone on the council wish to speak on this item? All right, then would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. Moving on to item number 8, take action on an ordinance and resolution modifying rates for natural gas utility services as recommended by Audit and Finance and Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right, I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Griswold. Is there any council discussion on this item? All right, seeing none, would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes and Councilmember Rawls voting nay. The next item is to take action on an ordinance and resolution modifying rates for solid waste utility services as recommended by Audit and Finance and Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. Any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Any council discussion? All right, seeing none, please vote. Motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, the mayor absent. We'll move on to number 10, which is to take action on an ordinance and resolution modifying the electric energy cost adjustment factor as recommended by Audit and Finance and Transportation Infrastructure Committees. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right, I need to explain, I'm going to be voting no on this particular item. I have no problem with the city raising money from its utilities. That's the method that was handed to this council. It's been handed down from council to council since the 1940s. The city uses the revenues from utilities in order to operate the city. My concern is that when we have people who are part of our city who are getting services from one entity and another part of our city, they're getting services from the city. And there is a great disparity between the rates. I have a problem with that. I wouldn't care if the city made millions of dollars a year as long as those millions are not being subsidized by one small segment of the population of the city. The natural gas utility is very close in terms of how much it costs if you're on Southwest Gas. Thank you. Southwest Gas versus City of Mesa. It's very, very close in terms of the numbers. But for the last couple of years, for a variety of reasons, the differential between the electric customers who are on Salt River Project versus City of Mesa has not been close. And for that reason, I am voting no on this. I recognize that the money that is being raised by this will be used to do a program that the federal government is requiring that we do. However, I would like to see the cost of that program taken out of the existing revenues of the electric utility. So I will be voting no on this particular one. Just wanted to explain my vote. So do I have a motion here? Is your motion?
Motion to approve item number 10, Vice Mayor. And also a question for staff. We're also doing considerable amount of upgrades to the electric utility this year, and we're doing it with cash, I believe, from our electric account. Is that correct?
There's about $2 million in capital that we chose to fund out of cash as opposed to issuing bonds. But in the future or even next year, if we decide to go back, we could then issue. The bonds have actually been approved by the voters. We've just not chose to sell those bonds. I guess that's the best way to say it.
And the reason for that, Mr. Brady, is we're doing an evaluation.
Doing the evaluation, and we didn't want to complicate any future transaction with bond covenants or bond insurance. And so this was actually the recommendation of our financial advisors is to this year would be better to go ahead and use cash. And next year, if we depending on which path we decide to go, we certainly can then sell the bonds for the improvements that were completed this year.
And I believe that the rate structure has been set out in our financial modeling that will show us where we're at over the next several years. Is that not correct?
That is correct. And as a matter of fact, these improvements that are being spoken of are intended to provide for helping us to demonstrate a conservation plan to the federal government. And so for this year, we're talking about, I believe, the expenditures around $200,000, and over the five-year period, it's $1.6 million. So if we don't fund, if we choose not to increase the rate to cover that, then those revenues would have to, essentially those revenues are falling into a fund balance, and the council would either have to choose to reduce the fund balance either in the utility fund or in the general fund.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council discussion. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, by the way. Councilmember Jones.
Vice Mayor, much the same as you, I have a very serious concern since a very large chunk of my district is on the city utility, of the electric utility. And Chris, could you give us an idea of what kind of money we're talking about with this adjustment, what it's going to do
as far
to
as
the average user and what it is, the bottom line to the city revenues?
We asked Chuck to come forward and give the rate impact. I can tell you from a dollar amount to the fund, again, it's that $200,000 this year, but it continues to grow significant. It grows as required by the federal government. And again, within a five-year period of time, without the rate increase, either the utility fund or the general fund balances, and council would have to give us direction which way, we would see a reduction in those fund balances, again, cumulative 5 years, I just picked 5 years, is $1.6 million. Remember, one of the things we talked about in the budget this year that we purposely set aside additional dollars to meet the requirements of the rating agencies was to increase our fund balances up to that 8%, 10% range. A $1.6 million hit over 5 years wouldn't allow us to meet that goal, so we'd then have to make up for it somewhere else over the next 5 years. And Chuck, maybe you can just talk about the rate, what that percentage was, because I can't recall that.
And Chris was correct, Vice Mayor, Councilmember Jones. It's about $200,000 this year, and that breaks out to a cost per kilowatt hour of 72 millionths. And it's an average cost per household of 66 cents per month, or $7.92 per year.
And I appreciate that, but for the amount, we're over in what the comparison is with SRP, and I'm very uncomfortable asking residents in that area to pay more because it just isn't fair.
Okay. Other councils discussion. Let me follow up with a question here. We're talking about over 5 years what it would amount to, but presumably we are going to reach a resolution on, we're not going to hang out for 5 years waiting to decide whether or not we're going to sell the electric utility, at which point we would be bonding for, if we kept the utility, we would be bonding for the improvements. If we decided to sell it, we wouldn't have the cost because it would then go to somebody else.
But these are programs. These are not capital expenditures. I don't think these dollars are capital projects.
These are operating costs.
I understand, but what I'm saying is your operating costs would actually be lower this year if you had bonded for the improvements as opposed to paying for them out of cash. So if future improvements are bonded for as opposed to being paid out of cash in future years, you could make up some of this by bonding for the capital improvements instead of paying capital improvements out.
Yeah, but it's $2 million spread over 20 years. I don't know that it's a significant issue. It really falls to the fund balance, and that $2 million this year really is, and the electric utility is a nominal amount that will then be either bonded for next year, which then will spread it out, certainly. I don't know how much of an impact that is. I think the concern we have, frankly, is if the decision today is not to pass along these program improvements to the electric utility, then somewhere in our financial forecast, we'll have to transfer those costs for forecasting purposes, either to the general fund or to the utility fund.
Agreed. I agree. Councilmember Griswold and Councilmember Summers.
We might make a proposal to table this until the mayor is back. A 3-3 vote, it would die. His vote might be important one way or the other. And see, you know, the city we have such a unique way of financing our city that not one other city uses it in the valley of the United States, I can find. 1945, city of 7 square miles, 12,000 people, about a 7 square mile electric company. The city fathers, being large landowners, said, "We make enough money at an electric company. Let's set our own property tax rates at zero. We'll run the entire city out of sales tax revenues and the electric company and utilities." 2007, we're 150 square miles, 460,000 people. We have a 7 square mile electric company. It doesn't work quite the way it did in 1945. But that's our financial system we founded our entire city on. So we're now reaping this. We have an antiquated system that needs money put back into it to fix old wiring and old poles. It's going to be very interesting. I don't like where 7 square miles pays for the rest of the city either. But that's the system the voters decided on, and that's what we've got right now. So it's a tough vote either way.
Councilmember Summers.
I would add to that if at some point we do find it financially, fiscally responsible to sell it, then we need to maintain it as well. And it's some pretty important changes that are going to be made, federally mandated changes that are going to be made with this money, and that's going to be raised. So I would also concur with Councilmember Griswold that we table this until we have the full council.
Okay, well, we have a motion that so far does not have a second to it, so it would die for lack of second, but let me make another point, Chuck. If what we're talking about here is there will be a transfer to the general fund from the electric utility, it will be much smaller this year, more along the lines of about $1 million. But that's my recollection, that may be the wrong number, but somewhere in that vicinity. And rather than, and so Chris, when you're talking about the long-term projections for the city budget, that same thing could be accomplished by raising, say, the water rates 5 cents on every household in the city, as opposed to 7 square miles having it raised 40 cents per month, or, you know, whatever your number was there, Chuck, and I apologize that I don't remember what your number was.
66 cents
a month on 7 square miles, as opposed to 130 square miles of houses that got picked up on a different rate. And everyone,
Vice Mayor, you're correct. You can reduce the transfer from the electric utility or its contribution of transfer by making up for it in one of the other utilities. Again, it's just a balancing act that we try to be careful with on the sensitivity of rates, but that, certainly that formula works.
And that's my point. And in this year, yes, it is a $200,000 hit, but if you adjust it next year, it can be captured in a different way so that you are not just placing this burden on these 7 square miles, and that's my point. Councilmember Jones.
When I first came on council and we had initially done some rate increases on the electric utility, I was under the understanding that we were fairly close with SRP. That proved to be incorrect in later years. But that was because of the adjustments that of the pass-through and so forth, and which put us higher than SRP. And again, as a matter of principle for representing the people in my district, I cannot ask them to bear a heavier burden, just as Vice Mayor Walters explained, and I will be voting no on it.
And Vice Mayor and Council, maybe just make something real clear too, because I don't want to create an expectation for future discussions in the fall when we suggest that by selling the electric utility that the rates will actually come down. So just want to make sure that expectation doesn't get out there too far, because I'm not sure we can commit that will necessarily be the case.
I agree with that, and I think that we aren't committing about selling it, not selling it, or any of those things, or what rates would be, but you know. All right, so we no longer have a motion on the table because the motion that was made died for lack of a second. So I'm going to make a motion that we deny this. I have a second for that motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? I got a note passed to me by Councilmember Summers, and the Boy Scouts might be interested in this. He said, what happens if we have a tie? Because usually there are 7 of us up here. So with 7, you don't end up with a tie, but with 6, you can end up with a tie. So here's the answer. If you end up with a tie, the motion fails. So I've made a motion. I've got a second on the motion, and if it fails, then we'll try another motion. And these gentlemen wanted to delay the vote, and they could make that motion. Councilmember Rawls.
No, that's fine.
All right, so we're going to go ahead, and we will vote on the motion. And we have a 3-3 split, so you actually get to see what happens. The motion fails with Council Members Whalen, Griswold, and Summers voting no. Now, do we have a substitute motion? Councilmember Griswold.
I'd make a motion that we continue this until the mayor returns and get our 4-3 vote one way or the other.
Okay. So you need to push your buttons, gentlemen. Okay.
Vice Mayor, I would recommend we continue it to a date specific, since this date has been published for the public hearing and the determination.
Thank you. Mr. Griswold, would you amend your motion
to a
date
specific?
Will the
mayor be back with July 9th?
Will he be here? He'll be here for the July 2nd meeting. That's my understanding.
So I would make a motion to July 2nd.
We can post it then, and if for whatever reason one of the council members is not here, we can continue it another week.
Okay. So we have a date certain. We'll have it July 2nd is the motion, and we have the seconder agrees with that?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Any other conversation on this? All right, go ahead and vote. The motion carries with 4 ayes, 2 nays, Jones and Rawls voting nay. Thank you. We'll consider it again at the July meeting. All right, moving on to page 3. We're going to adjourn, recess the regular council meeting and convene a special council meeting for the purpose of approving the budget and the 5-year capital improvement program. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Nope. Vice Mayor, it's a motion to recess.
I beg your pardon.
To adjourn.
Do I have a motion? We were about to leave. We were going home, Debbie. I was there. I was that close. But no. We had to step in. All right. Do I have a motion to recess the meeting? Can we do this verbally? Do you want to button push?
Just so the record's clear, I'd request that you
All right. I need a motion. Council Member Rawls has moved to adjourn. Council Member Jones has seconded.
Motion to recess, Vice Mayor.
He's trying so hard.
Thank you. Everybody's going to keep me in line here tonight, and I want you to know I really do appreciate it. All right, so a motion to recess. Please vote. The motion carries with 6 ayes. Now, I need a motion to convene in a special council meeting for the purpose of approving, for voting on the budget and five-year capital improvement program. I have a motion by Councilmember Griswold and a seconded by Councilmember Whalen. All right. All those in favor, I mean, please vote. The motion carries with 6 ayes. Now, we are in a special council meeting, and Ms. Spinner, you might take a second and explain to everybody why we have a special council meeting.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, members of the council. A state statute that talks about the process through which the council will approve the budget requires that the council enter into a special council meeting for purposes of adopting the budget. That's why we do it.
Thank you. And I've asked for a short presentation on the budget at this time. Did I call you Jamie a minute ago?
No.
I got Chuck.
You got Chuck.
They told me after the meeting that I called you Jamie.
That's fine. I was not insulted at all. So, this is a short presentation, Vice Mayor, Council. In your packet tonight, we have the three-page budget for 07-08, which is the entire amount. It is $64.6 million less than the tentative budget that you approved on June 4th. For a total of $1,164,700,000. Of that, $1,014,029,000 is for operating, and $150,671,000 is for bond resource-related items. It's consistent with the guidelines that you've set forth in the forecast, the financial targets that you've outlined in the forecast, the directions that you gave during the budget process from both management and from City Council. Of the total budget, $328.1 million is for the general governmental operations and maintenance, and that is an increase of 5.2 from the tentative due to rebudgets for contract commitments.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chuck? Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Did I have any requests to speak on item? Let me just read these. We're going to take action on the following resolutions. A, approving, and we'll take 1A first, which is approving a budget for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2008. Did I have any requests to speak on this item?
You have none, Vice Mayor.
All right. Are you ready to go, Councilmember Whalen?
Okay. I am ready.
It's all yours.
Vice Mayor, now that the legal publications of the tentative budget for the City of Mesa have been made, and we have required a public hearing, I hereby move that we adopt the legal three-page budget for the City of Mesa for fiscal year 2007-2008 in the amount of $1,014,029,000 for the operating portion and $150,671,000 for the scheduled bond capital improvements, for a total city budget appropriation of $1,164,700,000. This dollar amount is less than the tentative budget, which the City Council adopted on June 4th, 2007.
Thank you. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Whalen, and I have a second by Councilmember Jones. Is there any council discussion on this? Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I just want to explain that I'm going to vote no again, and for 4 years, I've done that, and each year prior to this one, I've given a detailed discussion as to why, with all the things that are in the budget that I no longer, that I couldn't support. I just want to say ditto tonight. I don't want to prolong the meeting. I've done it for three prior times. There's no reason to do it again. I just can't support a budget that includes a lot of the items that are in here. So with that, I'll just make the record.
Thank you. Any other? Councilmember Griswold.
This is a legal budget, the highest that we could possibly spend. If you got a grant for a couple of million dollars for a new road project and you had your budget too low, you couldn't spend it on the road project. We usually, our internal budget, we go lower than this, but this is the ceiling budget required by the state that we cannot spend any higher than this amount here. So I'll be in favor of it. I think it's a good cap. Hopefully we'll do a lot better than this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other council discussion. I'm just going to make a comment for a moment. This is a budget that reflects conservation on the part of the city, spending money in places where it's important for us to spend money. We put some models into place in the last couple of years, and we have really been very diligent in following them. It hasn't been easy. I know that people have been upset as we have trimmed back on library hours and other things to try and really have a lot of fiscal restraint. We make sure that we never spend more money than we have coming in, because that's a very important thing to do. Just to give some comparative, because I think that sometimes that comparison is missing. If you look at the Valley and the larger cities in the Valley, the next closest city in terms of spending per capita is the city of Tempe. And my recollection is that we're about $1,866 per resident for operating the city of Mesa. And they're, I believe, a little over $2,300 for operating the city of Tempe. Now, they're the next closest in terms of cost. If you go over to our neighbors in Phoenix, you're looking at over $1,000 a year higher to operate per resident, $1,000 per year. If you look at some of our immediate neighbors, they're even higher than that. And there's a reason. If you look at a town like Gilbert, where they have a growing community and they have a lot of infrastructure and growth needs, they are even higher than that. So this council has operated with fiscal restraint. This budget recognizes that, and I want to say how much I appreciate the work of the mayor, the council members, the citizens committee that Kyle chaired for a long period of time as we looked at ways that we could keep the city moving forward in a positive way. And it really has not been an easy process, but this council has been absolutely dedicated to it, and I really am I have a lot of admiration for my colleagues up here, because it has been a lot of hard work, and I really appreciate it. So I'm going to vote in favor of the motion. Is there any further discussion? All right, would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right, we have item B, which is approving a 5-year capital improvement program for fiscal years ending 2008 through 2012. And do we have any requests to speak on this, Ms. Jones?
None, Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Council Member Whalen.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Now that the legal notice of publication has been made for the tentative 5-year capital improvement program and we have held a public hearing, I hereby move that we adopt the 5-year capital improvement program for fiscal year 2007-08 through fiscal year 2011-12. And my comment to that capital improvement project is a very, very slim, austere budget, and I thank you for that.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second? Second from Council Member Summers. Is there any council discussion? Council Member Rawls.
A little different comment on this, only in the sense that I'll continue to vote no, but I just think it's interesting. Kyle just wrote me a note and noticed this at the last meeting where we spent hours talking about a 5 acres in a park, whether we would or would not have it. And we spent a lot of time talking about whether we're going to have a building that looks like this or how many palm trees this is having. And yet here we are for the second time adopting a budget of over $1 billion, and there isn't a single citizen who has come forward to praise, condemn, congratulate, or anything the members of this council. Apparently, you trust us enough to spend $1.2 billion, but we can't decide whether or not a park should have 23 acres or 27 acres. I just find it an interesting comment. And so with that, I'm prepared to vote.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right, would you please vote? The motion passes with 5 ayes, Council Member Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right, now I need a motion to...
Vice Mayor, real quickly, if you don't mind.
Please.
Let me thank the budget staff, Chuck and all his folks that has here with us today. And if we could ask them to stand, Chuck and his staff, and appreciate... Come on, stand up.
You don't need tomatoes. You're safe.
Yeah, but I want to thank them for their work. They do a great work for the city, a lot of number crunching, working with departments. They're not necessarily always the favorite people for inside the different departments, but they do a great job with a smiley face, so we appreciate their work. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm married to a budget guy, so I know how that goes, and it is much appreciated, even on the moments when it may not feel like that. We appreciate your coming and doing all those presentations, and I know that there are a lot of weekends of work that go into this that nobody ever hears about or sees, so thank you so much. And Chris, thank you for acknowledging them. That's much deserved. All right, now I need a motion And this time, it's to adjourn the special council meeting.
You got it.
I have a motion by Councilmember Whalen, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Would you all vote, please? Councilmember Rawls, thank you. That motion carries unanimously, and we need to now have a motion to reconvene the regular council meeting. I have a motion by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Please vote. Councilmember Whalen, I need you to hit it again. Thank you. Motion carries with 6 ayes. Now we're back on page 3 on 13A, which is a public hearing on a general plan amendment, GP Minor Amendment 0707 in District 6. This is related to the 9,000 and 9,001 block of East Southern Avenue located west of Ellsworth Road and north of Southern Avenue, and it's a minor general plan amendment to change the general plan land use map from low-density residential to neighborhood commercial. Have there been any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
Did anyone on the council wish to speak in the public hearing? All right, then I'm going to adjourn the public hearing, and we'll move on to item number 13B, which is to take action on the minor general plan amendment, which I just read. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
Would anyone on the council like to speak on this item? All right, please vote. The motion carries with 6 ayes. Now we're moving on to item 13C, which is to take action on the following ordinance introduced at a prior council meeting. This is the 9,000 and 9,100 block of East Southern Avenue, located west of Ellsworth Road and north of Southern Avenue. This is the zoning case. It will rezone from R143 and R17 to C2 and site plan review. The request will allow the development of an office structure and 2 restaurant facilities. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right, thank you. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on this item? Thank you. Would you please vote? The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor absent. And we are now on... Thank you. We're on page 5, item number 15A. This is an armored vehicle for the Police Department Homeland Security using UASI Urban Area Security Initiative funds. It's the procurement. The Procurement Services Department recommends awarding the MESA contract to the sole source bidder, Lenco Industries, for a total for a Lenco armored vehicle at total award of $247,137.79, including tax. Do I have a motion on this item? Motion for approval by Councilmember Summers. And I'll second the motion. Any council discussion on this item? All right, would you please vote? Councilmember Griswold, I need you to vote. Thank you. I have the motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right. We're moving on to, what page are we on? We're going to go to page 11 unless you tell me differently, Mr. Whalen.
Page 11, 17K.
Okay, we're going to 17K, which is approving the implementation of additional measures for the Maricopa Association of Government 2007 5% plan for particulate PM10. This plan identifies specific measures to reduce air pollution levels by 5% per year. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on this item? All right, would you please vote? You know, I should have asked Barb. I assume that there were no speakers.
There were none.
All right, thank you. The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. We'll move on to item 17L, which is approving and authorizing the city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement between Valley Metro Rail and the City of Mesa for operations and maintenance of the light rail transit system. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right. We have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on this? Please vote. The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right. We are now moving on to item 17N, which is calling a special election to be held on November 6, 2007 to submit to Mesa qualified electors a question relating to the approval or disapproval of certain public expenditures related to the Waveyard Development Project as required by Section 613 of the Mesa City Charter. Because my daughter-in-law has an ownership interest in her family business, and their family owns the existing water parks in the valley, and this has the potential for being in competition with them. I will continue to declare conflict of interest on this item and refrain from all discussion and voting on it, and I will turn the item over to Councilmember Whalen for conducting the business.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Ms. Jones, anyone wish to speak on this item?
Sorry.
Do you have any speakers on this item?
I have none.
Any member of the council wish to speak on this item? Do we have a motion? We do have a motion and a second. I can't read it.
Griswold. Motion and Jones second.
Griswold and Jones. Hearing that, would you please vote? The vote passes with 5 ayes. And one abstention by Council Vice Mayor Walters, I think that's your name, and the mayor absent. Thank you.
I'm good. I'm glad I'm not the only one who can't remember my name. All right. We are now on page. We're at the appeals, right? Page 16. Under item 21. And get another treat, Boy Scouts here tonight. And you know, we didn't get a look at the Boy Scouts. Can we turn the camera on them and get a look so Mom and Dad know that they actually showed up for the meeting? You want to smile and wave? We haven't had appeals from the Design Review Board in a long time, and this is actually our first appeal that we've had under the possibility of appealing from Planning and Zoning for a site plan modification. We changed the rules in the last year, and site plan modifications now can be finalized. As Mr. Finter could tell you, they can be finalized at the Planning and Zoning Board. But we have one now that's been appealed to the City Council, because any citizen or council member has the right to appeal it to the City Council, and that's what's happened tonight. So I think we'll go through the process that we normally go through in hearing things. First, we'll hear from the first one is, I beg your pardon. Councilmember Rawls, are you wanting to not participate? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm wanting, willing, and waiting to participate as much as law will allow me, but unfortunately the law will not allow me. My employer owns property that adjoins this project, and so I must declare a conflict and not participate in the decision.
Okay, and the one he's making reference to is the first one we're going to address, which is 21A, which is DRO 756, District 1, Riverview Point, Phase 1. This is the approval of two office buildings totaling 166,000 square feet at Riverview Park Partners. Tom Martin, applicant, and the Design Review Board decision is being appealed by the applicant. So the zoning's in place. This has to do with design review. Mr. Udall, would you like to come up and bring and do the presentation of the appeal?
Thank you, Vice Mayor and members of the council. For the record, Dave Udall, 30 West 1st Street here at Mesa. Pleased to be representing the Loth Property Group. We have with us tonight Mr. Tom Martin, who is their development representative, and will be happy to answer questions if you have them. This is the next piece in the exciting Riverview project. I know you've all been down to Bass Pro, which opened earlier this month. I was there Saturday with 8 of my grandchildren and couldn't get in and couldn't get out. It was a great, great time. Restaurants have opened. Home Depot has opened. Joann's opens this week. In terms of the auto park on the west side, all the earthwork is done. They're now going vertical with buildings. At last I heard they plan to be open in December, selling cars this year, which will be a tremendous asset. You've already approved the zoning here tonight on the consent agenda for a four-story hotel, which is adjacent to our project. And the one that's here on appeal is already zoned, and the site plan is approved. The only issue is, do we want to live with all of the conditions imposed by the Design Review Board? And the answer is no, and hence the appeal. Who is Loth? They're a large developer from Indiana. They have many holdings here in Arizona. This will be an $85 to $100 million project at build-out. That's new money coming to the city of Mesa. How often have we heard Chris Brady say the greatest source of new money is development? And this is an exact case in point. Ms. Spinner at the study session indicated that the standard is, do we meet the design guidelines? The answer is clearly we do. We met in April with the design review study. They made a lot of suggestions to us. We incorporated them. We met with a couple of members of the design review who had additional suggestions. We incorporated many of those, although not all of those. On May 2nd, we went to the design review board on the consent agenda with staff support for approval. It was pulled off the consent, and after a fairly extensive vote, they added five conditions that we seek to delete. What we seek to have is, frankly, the approval of the staff report that went to design review, and you have that in your packet. One of the principal issues here, let me just show you a couple of pictures. Does this light work here? Tell me how to turn it on. Oh, there we got it. Perfect. This is what the building is going to look like. One of the issues was we'd like a stronger entryway. That was suggested on April 2nd. This is the stronger entryway. Colors have been changed. There's more massing to it, and frankly, it looks excellent. One of the major problems that came out of the design review was the addition of palm trees that run from the existing Riverview project, the full length of Bass Pro Drive over to Alma School Road. This was not in our original proposal. It was not in what was approved or recommended by the staff report, but was added to it. It's about a $300,000 hit. And the question is, well, it's only money, to which we responded to the design review. Yes, it is. It's only money, and $300,000 is a significant number. That really doesn't add anything to it. Do we have palm trees on the project? Can you hear me if I'm talking here? Here's the entryway on Alma School. Here is the Riverview Project, the entertainment center. We have a cluster of palm trees at this location, cluster of palm trees at this location, palm trees at this location, which is up by the roundabout. We have palm trees here. We have palm trees in the body of the property. The statement is made. It's part of Riverview. Do we need to have every tree a palm tree? We do not. Along the road are shade trees, which palms don't provide shade, but they do provide identification. We have the identification with 30 trees. Palm trees, as I think one of you mentioned, are dirty and they're hard to take care of. All of that's true. But we do have shade trees. So what we seek to have is, here are the minutes of the design review board, which recommends approval of all of the staff conditions which are laid out here, except items 1, G through K, which I have written delete by. And what we seek is approval of the staff report, delete those four conditions, and pass this on. And I might just say parenthetically, we've already spent $1.5 million with Dorito for the construction of the road. Some of the preliminary grading and drainage is already done. Plans for building were submitted, in fact, today. And Jim Law, our development man, has been splendid in helping expedite this entire project. So we're delighted to be here. We ask that you reverse the design review as it relates to those five conditions and pass the staff report or approve the staff report, which went to the design review on consent. We'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Ms. Spinner, because it's been a long time since we've done this, what would a motion look like if we were to favor the applicant's appeal?
Vice Mayor, as Mr. Udall said, the council has the authority to approve, deny, or in any way modify the decision of the design review board. If you want to modify the decision by deleting these four conditions, the motion would be motion to approve the appeal by deleting conditions G, H, I, J, and I think K.
K, that's right.
Of the design review board.
Would it also be acceptable to have a motion that said to approve the original staff recommendation? Would that have the same effect?
That would be also, because my understanding is that the staff original staff recommendation was exactly what the appeal is requesting.
Okay. Thank you. We may have some questions for you. Did we have requests to speak on this item?
None, Vice Mayor.
Okay. This is my district, and there was quite a bit of conversation as Riverview first got started and the palm trees came, and the neighbors who live right there were very concerned that the palm trees were going to be continued on the other side, and we told them that was not necessarily the case, that actually there were other ways of doing it that could reference the palm trees on the shopping center side. And I believe that's what you've done with this. You have referenced those. You have the palm trees clustered. You have the shade trees so that people in the neighborhood who are worried about that is directly to the east have been wanting to be able to walk and walk over to the Riverview Shopping Center. So you're going to provide some shade for them as they're walking in that direction without having the very tall palm trees in there. So from the perspective of what the neighbors were told, I believe that what you have come forward with the palm trees actually represents what the immediately adjacent neighbors were told was going to happen. So I definitely on that one, I want to remain true to what we told those neighbors that are adjacent to your project there. Are there other comments by council members? Council Member Whalen.
Just a couple of questions. The land you have purchased in is fee simple land, is that correct? You own the land?
Yes, that's correct. That's fee simple land.
Did you have to dedicate then or construct the roadway on your land, the private drive to Alma School?
That's correct. Mr. Udall referenced cost of about $1.5 million.
So Dorito built it and you reimbursed Dorito.
That's
as
correct.
part of your sale. So there has been a substantial increased cost to dedicate a roadway, which
recent
normally cost, you would not have to do.
Yes.
One of the issues that they talk about is increased materials. Can you, the improved higher grade materials, can you speak to that?
The Development Review Board asked to change some of the exterior materials on the building, add some additional materials to create additional interest to the building. And so we thickened the walls so that the walls would create a bit more depth, added additional what they call reveals on the building so that the building had a little bit more interest, added additional materials from the standpoint of some brick that was on the building, added some additional materials there, and additional massing where the columns were made bigger, some strips were added to the different colored strips were added to the columns to add additional visual interest.
So you have in fact complied with that one request of
that's
DRB,
right. That's
but
correct.
You're asking us to delete that request because they want more? Is that what
in our initial workshop meeting with the DRB, we presented one elevation, and the DRB made a number of comments and suggestions, which we took to heart and made those changes at the subsequent to the workshop, but prior to the DRB meeting. At that time, we resubmitted the design to staff. Staff was pleased with those changes and made a recommendation with those additional changes to approve the project as redesigned.
By way of clarification, the motion was made by one of the board members to work with staff to intensify the entry by increasing the massing. That was kind of an add-on, kind of hark back to Toyota and their appeal. By the way, we like it, but work with staff and do a little more, and that's what this is, and we think we've done enough. Staff like what we submitted, and we're not anxious to work with staff some more to change it even more than we have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I'm interested to hear what staff thinks of these additions. John?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, this has been a very interesting case to work on. The applicant has responded well to the board in their original work sessions to increase the design quality of the site. Staff, in reviewing what had been done between the first work session and the actual board consideration, felt they had met the desires of the board and what they submitted at that time, so we were satisfied with it and did recommend the approval based on those modifications. As the board looked at it at their formal hearing and discussed a little bit more, they did come up with some other items they thought they could still take a step further, and that's resulted in their motion and the requirements that they put on that approval. So, again, staff was satisfied based on what we understood the board was looking for at the time it was submitted for consideration.
Okay, so they were added on later after the original. Looks like a nice building. It's an office building?
Office building.
Then I'm right. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Griswold.
That was my question. This street goes all the way from Dobson to Alma School. Half of it goes through a retail area, Bass Pro, movie theater, et cetera. This isn't any retail here, is it?
There's no retail.
Hotel and office. So if you had retail, maybe you need palm trees all the way along to keep people sort of lured along there so they keep going, realize there's more retail half a mile away.
Correct.
You really do, by doing a hotel and office building, it's a whole different theme. It has nothing to do with the retail part. The retail winds around with the palm trees and leads you along there. This is, so you've tied in some elements of it with palm trees and some echoing, but you haven't said this is retail, keep following along here and you can shop all the way along these boulevards.
That's correct. I think the original design intent on the project was to have something that blended nicely with the retail, but also contrasted with it as, okay, now you've entered an office park, it's a different place.
Seems to make sense. Thank you.
Mr. Martin, before you sit down, would you talk, when we met last week or the week before when you came to show me the design on this, and you said something that was of real interest to me, and that is that you're going to be building these to LEEDS standards.
That's correct.
Could you
talk
about that for a minute, because I think that's very significant.
Sure. Loth has got a sort of a national platform for developing commercial properties, and one big endeavor that the company's been embarked on is pursuing LEED certification for most every project we pursue when it's appropriate. And this project in particular is, we think, especially suited to a LEED certification pursuit. We've already gone down the road designing this project to LEED standards. It's all subject to the LEED certification process. We've retained a number of consultants to assist us in that regard. And we're certain we'll be able to get LEED certification for the project. We're trying to get a LEED Silver certification, and LEED is basically a sustainable development approach that you take to a building to enhance its overall design so it's more in keeping with sort of a green vision, and that's all very nice to be said, but what does that mean? We're using local materials. These buildings are chiefly made of concrete and steel, so those are locally produced materials or recycled materials such as steel. We're using more efficient HVAC systems, so the buildings will operate more efficiently and they'll have much better air quality in the buildings, better windows that help with more efficient energy efficiencies and that sort of thing. Xeriscape in the landscape is just a given. We're planning to have showers in the first floor of the building so that folks can recreate, ride their bike to work, walk to work, whatnot. Those facilities will be in the building. These are just a whole variety of sort of aspects that you add to the project to help enhance that. And they all cost money. And the question is, where are those dollars better spent? We're going to spend that money. It's just a question of where you're going to put those dollars.
The advantage of that is there's a certain
class. Mr. Udall, you need to come up to the microphone if you're going to speak.
And the advantage to being LEED certified is a certain number of green companies around the country will only go into a green certified building. So this is a huge, I don't know that it's a first, but I've never heard of it before in Mesa. So I think it's a very positive thing. You know, you've got two things going here in terms of attracting national tenants. One, we'll be in the ground. We've got space. People are looking to come. And in the market today, if you don't have space, you don't get tenants. Nobody will rent a space and have you build it 2 years out. And secondly, this brings a new quality type of tenant to Mesa with the anticipated LEED certification.
And I wanted to get that LEED certification out there, not just because I want to talk about what you're doing, but I'm hoping that you're going to inspire other people who are building
sure.
the community to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. I have had a request to speak. Rob Bergheimer, who is on our design review board. So I know you're here on another case, but please feel free to come up. And you know the drill, Rob. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you, Vice Mayor and Council members. I just wanted to bring out a couple points since I'm here anyways. And I kind of felt like Design Review Board was not being well represented here. And since I'm here, I wanted to kind of mention a couple of the concerns that the board had about this particular project. I think the first thing that we were concerned about was just the overall quality level. I think the community was promised initially that we were going to get an A type office building here, and we just felt that this was a little bit too industrial for the site. And so we wanted to, we were looking for some more enhancements that were going to make this project just a little bit better. Also, the palm tree issue, we were told initially when the design concept came forward to Design Review Board that that was going to continue forward, and we were again trying to just make sure that that original thought was being brought through to the rest of the project. So it's a continuation of the original ideas. We're kind of elephants and we remember those things, and so we just wanted to make sure that those things actually got executed on this project, because as you know, there's taxpayer money involved in this project, and we wanted to make sure that we got the very, very best project that we can. And we just felt that the project was just a little too industrial, a little bit too not what we expected. So those were our concerns, and that's why those additional conditions were made on this project.
Thank you. We appreciate the work of the Design Review Board. I think that the product that after your initial meeting with them and the encouragement that you gave them, I think that they came back with a much better product, and I really do appreciate that. My recollection, Ms. Spinner, is that this is a fee simple title on this one. Would you mind addressing that for a moment? He raised the issue of taxpayer subsidies on this.
Vice Mayor, members of the council, I believe what he's referring to is the retail sales rebate on the Riverview site, but this will not include any retail. It will not be eligible for the retail tax rebate on the Riverview site. Right. So this is separate from that section. Vice Mayor, if I might just make one suggestion, if the council is inclined to make a motion to impose the original conditions recommended by staff, if the council wants to incorporate the changes that the developer has talked about tonight that are over and above what was initially included in their application, council may want to get confirmation from the applicant that these new additions dealing with the higher grade materials and also dealing with the increased massing is incorporated or included in their new application.
Let's stipulate that on the record, Mr. Udall. I believe that that actually is part of what the...
That was part of our second submittal that went to DRB. You know, if you take a look at page 6 of your agenda item, this was a staff analysis of what the April 4th meeting was and what we did. For instance, the board on April 4th, buildings looked too industrial, long and flat. Revision, staff observations, buildings have deeper changes in the plane. Observation April 4th, look at glazing materials, trim walls changes in plane, high-tech glazing, some of the textures of planes. I won't go through all of them. Awning supports are good, need more movement at the entries. Concerned with proportions at entries. The response, entry piers are now thicker. And accent banding, which you've seen here. Concern, need richer materials. Answer that went to the May 2nd, accent band ended to CMU piers, deeper color palette. Concern, columns should be in a different plane. They project now is our answer. Concern, colors should be less reserved, more vibrant. Colors have been revised, and they in fact like the colors at the May 2nd. The concern, entry note at Alma School and all through the project should be date palms to continue statement along Bass Pro Drive. Answer, neighbors were opposed to palms along Full Drive but agreed to palms at entries. Palms are now at all entries, including the Alma School Drive. Concern, April 2nd, buildings need stepping, forms too basic, needs to be enhanced, pay attention to shadow lines. Response, windows are now recessed 8 feet. So there's been a huge response in terms of all of those concerns.
Thank you, and we do appreciate that. So the work that the applicant did to address the concerns that the Design Review Board had, the Design Review Board for looking at it and saying some things needed to change, and we... That's the kind of thing that we'd like to see happen. So I have a motion. Councilmember Summers, you're wanting to make a motion. I'd like you to put it on the record, please, if you would.
Actually, no, Vice Mayor, I was going to tell you that I've looked at my console. I've made a motion. I'm not making a motion right now, so I'd like it wiped out, please.
Okay, so we're taking that out. Do we have a motion? Councilmember Jones, are you going to try one?
I will make a motion
Let's go there. I'll make a motion that we go back to the original staff recommendation before the additional changes were made.
Okay, so the motion is for the staff recommendation without the additional stipulations that were put on at the design review board hearing.
At the last one, yeah.
So it has all of the upgrades that were talked about. It does not revert back to anything that was there.
All of those are in the staff.
All of that's in the staff report. That's right. Your motion. All right, I have a motion for that. Do I have a second? I have a second by Councilmember Summers. All right, is there any further discussion on this item? All right, is that a hand raised, Mr. Whalen?
No.
Okay, then would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes. Councilmember Rawls abstaining because of potential conflict of interest and the mayor absent. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on now to item 21B, which is Forest Capital Office, 6712 East Raft River Street, located west of Power Road on the north side of Thomas Road, site plan modification. This request will allow the development of an office building. And this is the first time that we have done a site plan modification. So you want to give me a little direction here, Ms. Spinner? How are we going to handle this one? Like we would an original case?
Yes, Vice Mayor, members of the council, this is our first appeal since the council changed the process for site plan modification. Now, under certain circumstances, the Planning and Zoning Board may decide site plan modifications. That was done in this case, and under our code that was adopted by council, any individual can appeal the decision of the Planning and Zoning Board to the full council, and that's what's before you today. So you have, again, discretion to affirm the decision of the Planning and Zoning Board, deny or modify the decision of the Planning and Zoning Board.
All right, so what we will do is we will hear first from the applicant, and that's Rob Bergheimer, for the zoning case, after which time I have two requests to speak. One is from John Vitale, and the other one is from David Bender. You have both listed yourselves as the spokesperson for the Red Mountain Ranch Social Club. So what I'm going to let you do is flip a coin, and whichever one of you wants to get the 5 minutes, you can have it, and the other one can have the 3 minutes. So you guys decide, and when you come up, you can announce who you are. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, Vice Mayor and Council members. My name is Rob Bergheimer. I'm the architect, and I represent our client, Forest Capital Partners. And this is a unique case. We have been asked to design an office building in the Red Mountain, Los Angeles area. And this company is a fairly important company to Mesa. They purchased Fortune 500 companies and provide capital. And this is a private office building for owner-occupied client. So it's not a speculative type building. And several years ago, I was on the design review board and actually was very concerned about this site because I live in the area. I actually live in Red Mountain Ranch. And little did I know that I would actually be the architect for this project. And so we took this on as a challenge when we were given this commission to do this project. And it has been a very, very tough project for us in terms of the neighborhood community. I can tell you, we're not asking for, we're meeting our zoning requirements, we're meeting our design review requirements, and it's a very frustrating project because we've been delayed almost 6 months now on this project. And quite frankly, it's our opinion that the neighborhood group doesn't want to see anything built there. And so this is a tough one because we really feel like we have a great product here and it's going to be a great enhancement. And we're hoping that you'll understand our position. Let me take you quickly through our PowerPoint presentation. Okay, it's not moving forward. Give you a little bit of neighborhood context real quick. It's at the corner, the northeast corner of Raff River and Thomas. We have the Red Mountain Ranch Elementary School, which this site will be in, right in front of that. We have Walgreens just to the east. We also have the Harris property just directly east to us. And then over there, you can kind of see we have a two-story home. This is kind of the typical neighborhood character. This is what we're proposing on site, which is a two-story building. It's approximately 15,000 square feet on two levels. And primarily the neighborhood concerns are safety, views and the preservation of views, the design process and the process that the city has, the actual design itself and the use. And I'd like to address them kind of individually here. Safety, this is one that I've been very concerned about from the very, very beginning. My children go to Red Mountain Ranch Elementary, and I've observed every morning the traffic flows on Raff River and Thomas every morning, and I can tell you that a lot of parents do want to get in and drop their kids off in the morning, and so it is a concern in that area. But we've addressed this by offering, reducing the flow onto our site, onto Raff River, and providing a gate so that nobody will be able to cut through our site to get on through that during peak demand time. So from about 8 to about 8:30 every morning, we will gate off our property, and that no one will be allowed to cut through our property and create a bigger problem on that street. We've also increased the landscape median on the west side of our property to create a larger pedestrian area along the street. There's also there's an issue of bus turning, which I think the neighbors will talk a little bit about, and there's some discussion with Streets and Transportation about changing the alignment of the street itself and the intersection. We've also designed the landscape in such a way that we are preserving the site visibility triangles on that. The other thing that we want to point out, there's been a lot of concerns about kids crossing our site in the morning, and what we've observed on the site is that most of the children actually used the western side of the site on Raff River. They don't use the eastern side of Raff River because there's no crosswalk there. So there are a few kids that may go on that side of the road. However, they're primarily using the other side of the street for, that's where they have a crosswalk with a traffic guard at that intersection. So we don't feel that our one driveway path is really a significant safety issue any more than crossing the street or anybody else's property line. So those are some of our concerns about the safety. The view issue, the maximum height of the dominant area on our building is 30 feet. It is a two-story building, but again, we are allowed by zoning to have a two-story building. The building is very transparent. It's a very modern and glass building, so we feel that transparency will actually help its presence on the site in terms of diminishing its value. It's not a very massive and solid building. If we have a parapeted roof, which is a very flat roof, and we feel that, you know, if we had a gable roof, as some of the neighbors have suggested, that we would only be increasing the height of the building and increasing its presence on the street corner. Also, we wanted to point out that most of the houses on that area face north-south. There's no houses in that area that are facing east or west. And so most of the neighbors actually don't have a window onto our site anyway. So we're not really blocking anybody's view, except if you're looking down the street up at our site. I want to talk a little bit about process. We've had meetings with the neighborhood group. They were not pleasant. They're a very, very vocal group. Not the people here tonight, but some of the individuals were very abusive to our staff and myself. And so we were really struggling with how to communicate well with these individuals. And we did something very unique, which was developing a website as a way to communicate with the neighbors in a way that we can communicate by, you know, having them blog or comment about the project, and then we could respond in a written form on the site. And to date, I wanted to point out something, because this might be a way for the city in the future to conduct business. But as of today, we had 1,909 hits on this website. So there was a lot of communication on this project. We had 79 comments posted on our site, not all of them negative. Some of them were very, very positive. Some were ambivalent. But everybody that wanted to had a chance to write a comment, and we tracked them, and we posted them as they were. So we didn't edit them, and then where appropriate, we commented and gave our position on some of those items. We also met with individuals. We talked to them on the phone. We talked with the school, and we addressed the school's concerns for safety on our site. And the school, the principal, was very supportive of our project. And we also did mailers, and I think we sent out several, somewhere 600 to 700 mailers on this project also, as well as we posted signs on the site. The design of the project is very modern, but we're using the same materials that are in the site. It's going to be primarily a stucco building. It is going to have stone on it. We're going to be using the same colors that are in the neighborhood and adjacent buildings. The landscape will be compatible with the Red Mountain Ranch Country Club that we're providing. And I think we're creating a new image here. And I think it's important to understand that this is a big concern about here is the design of this building and whether it meets the compatibility of the neighborhood. And I would admit that this building is somewhat unique. But, you know, everybody, every individual has a right to build what they want to build. And our client in this situation really wanted a different looking building. And so we took that on as a challenge. It's unique, but we do think this is a desert building. It's modern. On the west side, we've made this building much more solid to prevent people from looking into people's backyards and things like that. So we have made addressing, it's not just a glass box, but it is a desert modern building. And we're trying to create something new and different. And I think people are not used to that, you know, seeing something different or unique. And quite frankly, on the design review board, I can tell you that it's very frustrating in this community. We see the same building type over and over again, and it's kind of nice to actually see something different. And since I've been on design review, I don't think we've ever really legislated a design style to anybody. And we've allowed people to have their style, whatever it might be, and work within that. And I think we've done that in this project, and that's why design review unanimously approved this project, and that's why planning and zoning also approved this project also. Just want to bring up right here real quick that the zoning is C2. It's been that way since 1980. We didn't rezone this project just recently. It's been this way. Originally, the project had a restaurant bakery on the project, and that was what was approved, and we were amending that. And essentially, we were using the same floor plan and site plan as that project was conceived. We're just changing it from an office building to from a restaurant bakery to an office building. And I would contend also that an office building, a neighborhood office building, is going to be less impact of the neighborhood than a restaurant or a bakery would have ever been. So I wanted to point that out. Also, it is a local tenant. Our client has a home in Red Mountain Ranch, and it is not a speculative building, and it really is for an individual that's going to use it and maintain it and stay there and use it. So that's very unique in this climate. And there's a rendering of that, and with that, I will take some questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Berkheimer? Councilmember Jones.
Bob, do you have a layout of that driveway that's in question?
I did not bring a site plan with me, but I believe there's one in your packet. But the egress points in and out of the site were exactly as the approved site plan was done. Here is Raft River, right here.
We don't have it up yet.
Can you see it?
Turn your computer off.
There it is.
You got it? Okay.
Okay.
This is Thomas Road right here. This is Raft River here. This north is facing this direction. The site development, the Zaharis property we have a cross easement agreement between them where we will use their egress point right over here onto Thomas. So the primary users of the site, the business people that will be coming to this building, will be using the Thomas Road point of entrance off the Zaharis property. And then we have one egress point here on Raft River, primarily for fire and trash pickup, and to be able to prevent a dead end on the site. And so the idea is, here's our building right here. This is Raft River. And this egress point and this point right here were exactly as they were approved in the restaurant bakery project, which was about, I think it was 96 when that was approved.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Bergheimer? All right, then I have two speakers. Rob, if you want to sit down, we might have additional questions for you, so if you'll take a seat in front.
Vice Mayor, I have a question before we get started. Are we going to be able to speak on the next item, too?
Yes.
Or is this going to be combined?
No, you can speak on the next item. So which one of you, Mr. Bender or Mr. Vitale, which one of you is going to be the spokesperson who gets the 5 minutes?
Vice Mayor, I will. Thank
you. Okay. And just so the scouts understand, we generally give residents 3 minutes to speak on an item, but if somebody is a spokesperson for the group, we give them a little extra time. So we're going to give this gentleman 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dave Bender. I live at 6522 East Star Valley in Mesa. I'm a member of the Red Mountain Social Club. It's a group of about 120 members that live in the Red Mountain Ranch area. About a year and a half ago, quite a few of the neighbors got together and talked about what was going on as far as some of the planning and design of the recent buildings in our neighborhood, one of them being the Sahara Project, which you had seen, and across the street there was another project, I think it's now called the Red Mountain Office Complex. And we were disturbed about what had went through the regular process, and none of us had got involved and said anything. One of them was being the elevation problems, the color, and the clock tower. So anyway, when this project came open or up for comment, we all in the club said, maybe we need to get involved because everybody was complaining about the other two projects, and this is the last opportunity for the neighborhood. This is the last property that's left for development. You've received 162 signatures from a cross-section of the neighborhood. This is not just the adjacent property owners, a cross-section throughout the Dobson Ranch, or the Red Mountain Ranch area. We also sent you an email this past week, I don't know if you had an opportunity to look at it, with a lot of comments and responses to things that were said by the applicant at the P&Z board meeting. I would like to address one of the issues, is this two-story proposal. John Vitale will talk about the access and the widening of Raft River, which was already mentioned. Then we'll get into the design under the next agenda item. But they are interrelated. I think the neighbors felt that we're getting a double whammy with a two-story building along with modern design, which we'll be addressing in the next item. The two-story building, I guess, disturbed everybody for one reason, is there's no two-story commercial building within miles of this property. It's been said by the applicant that most of the houses are two-story in the neighborhood. Well, this is not correct. On Sierra Morena, out of 30 houses is two-story. And on Katmai, one out of about 20 houses is two-story. So we just don't think it's an appropriate place, even though the zoning allows a two-story building on this type of property that is appropriate and compatible with the neighborhood to put a two-story building and combined with the type of design it is. What I forwarded to you with our email was a picture of the property. Again, the applicant said that all the houses face north-south. This is not true. On Katmai, they face east-west. As a matter of fact, the picture that I have here, I'm standing near the front yard of the house that's facing directly east on Katmai at the corner of Sierra Morena. The line that you see, the white line, is the height of the 30-foot building. That's not including a 3-foot parapet, which will be above the 30 feet. And it's also designed where people can be walking on top of that 30-foot roof. So the applicant could have a party up there or what have you. So the line you're looking at, and this was, again, I have to correct the height, is the fact that it was measured right at the fence line. We couldn't get inside the property. So there is a setback of about 20-some feet, so you have to take that in mind, that we were only able to measure right at the fence line. But again, you can see what the impact, the applicant in the past has said, well, the building is almost, the Sahara property is almost the same height as our building. But when you look at this picture, and what the people are going to be seeing is not the same height. And again, recognizing it just isn't the type of neighborhood where a two-story building is appropriate. So we're asking the council to turn down the design of a two-story building, even though we realize that an office complex is probably the best use of this property. We're not against building an office building, and I want to make that clear. Past, the applicant said that we were wanting vacant property, and that's not the case. We realize that the office building is the appropriate place. So with that, I'll turn it over to John Vitale. Thank you.
Good timing. You had 4 seconds left. I'm impressed. Mr. Vitale, we'll give you 3 minutes.
Thank you, Vice Mayor and council members. My concerns tonight are about Raft River. We've got a road that's 34 feet wide that has an entrance to Thomas, which we saw up on the plan before, with 3 lanes going south on Raft River. If someone ever just, you know, talks on their cell phone or something and makes the turn into Raft River from Thomas with children there in the afternoon and morning hours and during noon, there's going to be quite an accident. So, I don't expect the developer to do these improvements. I think it's more of a regional improvement because you've got the school and most of Red Mountain to the north. But there should be an improvement on the curve return into Raft River from Thomas, thereby not requiring vehicles to go in the left turn lane for waiting out on Raft River at Thomas. And at a maximum, there should be some widening of Raft River from Thomas, and perhaps it should go all the way to the school property. Because of the minimal width of that road. And usually a 34-foot road is a road for a residential neighborhood, not where delivery trucks will come to the office complex, delivery trucks will go to the school. It's very difficult to have the same driver come to your spot all the time where they indicated they would come in off of Thomas, but if you don't have the same driver, you know, it's not going to work. So my main concern is about Raft River, and I know the city of Mesa has currently problems with dollars, and I know it might have to come in the future. The next thing is I would like to discuss the entrance from the office complex to Raft River. As you come down Raft River from Thomas, you have the Cena Marina Street access to Raft River. You have the driveway from the office complex. You then have the driveway to the school complex. I believe a better place for their driveway access to the office building would be opposite Santa Marina, because if you want to put a school guard, you wouldn't want a school guard down here at their entrance and then at Santa Marina.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Sorry
this evening.
For taking too
no,
long.
You're fine. Thank you. Mr. Wesley, would you like to... Can I ask him a couple of questions? Okay. Mr. Wesley, if the site plan modification, if you just talk for a minute about, you know, the two-story, does that go with the site plan modification? What goes along with this and the issues having to do with the street? Is that also part of the site plan modification?
Yes, Vice Mayor, both of those are the site plan modification portion of the application.
Even the Raft River piece, which sounds to me like it's a little more complex than just sure. This site.
Sure. The Vice Mayor, the issues with regard to widening Raft River, those really aren't something that the P&Z or even the council would consider as part of this application. They have been noted in the Transportation Division is looking into the possibilities of funding for improvements there.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Bergheimer, would you like to respond?
Yes. A couple of things I'd like to point out. On the two-story house issue, I think their point was that there are a lot of two-story homes in the area, and they're roughly about 25 to 26 feet tall, and it's only 4 feet shorter than our building is all I'm saying, and half said. Also wanted to point out that the school itself is a multi-story building, and it's certainly over 30 feet tall. And so is the Walgreens. So there's a precedence in this area for taller structures. And again, you know, if there was a problem with the height of the structure or having two stories, then this site's been zoned for over 20 years. I just don't understand why, you know, when somebody buys a property, they have certain expectation levels to be maintained. And why in 20 years the Neighborhood Association did not either band together to buy the property or to try to rezone it or reset some guidelines for that property. Why all of a sudden we had an approved project and we're essentially following those guidelines, all of a sudden we're getting kind of attacked and unfairly attacked at that. The other thing that I wanted to address was the driveway at Raft River. It's not an entry point. It's really, to me, an egress point. This is a very tough site, and I voted against the Zaharis property primarily because I did not agree with the planning and zoning interpretation of the Zaharis property before, because they eliminated an egress point on and off of our site. If that had been done, we could have eliminated the Raft River egress point completely. And I was disappointed because they overbuilt the other site, added additional buildings, and cut off that egress point. You essentially landlock this site when you take off that egress point. I mean, when you have a very small property, as we do here, you only have about an acre, you're trying to fit a site on there, you're trying to fit retention, you're trying to hit landscape on there, and you're trying to get the client's goals on there, and it's a very, very tough site for us. And we've pushed this building as much as we can, and the site as much as we can. The property to the west of our, I mean, I'm sorry, to the east of us, when they eliminated that, we had no choice. We had no way to get police and fire and to get trash in and out of the site. So we need that at our egress point. Plus, we're at the minimum dimensions for the intersection, which is 100 feet. And so that's why the intersection is there, and that's why we're also following exactly the same egress point as it was before. So I wanted to point out those items. That's the Sierra Marina issue that the gentleman here just brought up. And that's the reason why we couldn't align the two, because you know, when you align them, there was almost no space to put a building on there.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Rawls.
A question. I guess we'll start with you and then go to Ms. Spinner. I take it that you didn't appeal this from P&Z.
That's correct.
So what you want us to do is approve the site plan modification that was approved by P&Z.
That's correct.
And Ms. Spinner, is that the motion that we need in order to facilitate this evening's recess?
Yes. If the council's desire is to affirm the decision by the Planning and Zoning Board, that would be the motion.
Okay. Then I will make a motion to that effect with the caveat that I would hope that you would take your own statement that you made earlier about every person has the right to build what they want with you back when you serve on the design review board, because from what I heard from you on the previous item and what I heard from you today on your item are in my mind difficult to reconcile. So I just ask you to take your own words back with you.
I will talk
to you. But I'm making the motion to approve the project as you want it approved.
Right.
Okay, I have a motion for approval of the site plan as approved by the Planning and Zoning Board. And I have a second for that motion. Is there further council discussion? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I wonder if we could put up, I think it was slide two. We had four different buildings from the neighborhood. It is indeed slide two.
There it is.
I suppose my question to you, Rob, first of all, thank you also for serving on Design Review Board. We really appreciate your time and volunteering to our community. But Red Mountain has certain architectural flavor about it. It's up near the mountains and the red buttes that you can see. I'm curious as to why your client would want to build something that visually to me is so absolutely different from the architectural style that seems to be fairly pervasive throughout the remainder of the community. This, I mean, visually this seems to me that it's going to stand out.
Well, you may look at it and say, well, geez, it's very different, but I would point out that there's a lot of similarities on this building. You know, again, if you look at the school, for instance, the elementary school, it's a parapeted roof. It's a simple massing, which is what this building is. You look at the Walgreens. You look at some of the CVS pharmacy at down the street at Wrecker and McDowell. Again, fairly modern expression type buildings. You know, again, matching somebody's, you know, this all comes down to a design taste, I guess, if you would say. And so matching to one person and, you know, that's been a problem in this community. I think we have way too many buildings that I think are becoming cookie cutters because nobody wants to break out of the box in fear of what we're talking about here on this project. We don't want to celebrate a little bit a project that's a little bit different. And this, I think, owner has a right to do something that's a little bit different. I think that would be a better discussion for us, I think, in the next one, which would be the design review, if you'd like to talk about that more.
Well, I it'd be interesting to see what kind of design review comes back. I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, it is very different, though I don't know that that's enough for me to say that we should turn this down. My second point, a point has also been made about why this is two-story. And if I recall correctly, C2 allows by right two-story up to 35 feet in height?
30
feet in height?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I suppose, Ms. Spinner, would this then, under current Arizona law, fall under potentially a 207 claim if we were to mandate a single-story building?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Summers, I'm not sure I can give you a definitive answer to that since there's been no interpretation of Proposition 207. It's a potential issue that would be raised, yes.
It would be a concern legally, given that our zoning currently allows for it.
That would be a concern, yes.
Okay.
Well, you had to make it more interesting, Councilmember Summers.
You know what? I tried.
All right. Councilmember Griswold.
You know, this is a difficult project, but something we saw 3 years ago when Planning and Zoning approved the single driveway, it went from two driveways to one driveway. I protested because I said, this is coming at us. There's no other way off this property except through a elementary schoolyard almost. That was just, we were borrowing trouble. And I think if you look at the records, I said something along those lines. I believe in people's rights to build on their own property. That's one of the troubles that in this property. You have the right to build on your property. You have the right to build a office building. You have the right to build a two-story office building, whether I like it or not. It is a beautiful building. Whether it belongs in this setting, that's not always my job to say so. I'm not in design review, luckily. But it is a southwestern nature around there. So this is a tough, tough one. I understand the neighbors. I think they've done a great job. I think you've done a great job with the website and trying to communicate with people. I think we have a lot of work to do in that area on that Raft River, because it is tough getting in and out of there with elementary school and coming off of a 45-mile-an-hour street, turning the corner, and all of a sudden you have a school bus stopped right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And as you swing with the school bus, you take out the left-hand turn driver, because it's not wide enough to put a car going, you know, north, one south, and one turn left. Mm-hmm. So it is a very challenging area. Difficult case.
Okay, thank you. And I think you can go ahead and sit down, Rob. We've got a motion and a second.
I have one more question for Rob.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Prematurely.
That's okay.
Mr. Whalen has a question.
Yes, Mike.
How much dedication did you provide for Raft River?
We went with the city requirements. We dedicated 65 feet, John, on Thomas,
right,
which was additional right-of-way on Thomas, and we dedicated additional right-of-way on Raft River. And I do believe that that is enough, that later on, if we're going to widen that intersection, we've got that covered in that. And I would agree that it is a problematic. I do agree with the neighbors on that issue, that it's a tough intersection in the corner. It was not the greatest place to put a school back off the street like that. There's a lot of people trying to get in and out of there in the morning. There's a lot. It's a tough intersection for sure. But I think this is a good project, the best project that we can have for that location, and the least amount of impact.
Mike, did you get your question answered?
I got the editorial too.
Yeah.
John, go ahead.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, yes, the right-of-way is there that would accommodate the street widenings that may be needed.
And you said earlier that traffic safety is looking at that intersection for future development.
That's correct.
Could that also include a traffic signal at that location, or is there enough volume there that...
Councilmember Whalen, I hate to play traffic engineer this evening, but I would say that because of the volumes, and because of the controls we already have at... Thomas and Raft River, I believe that it probably wouldn't justify
too close.
Yeah, but I think again, our traffic analysts are looking at that, okay, with reference to, as Mr. Vitale I think described fairly, possibly another lane northbound to accommodate especially school buses and so on.
And then there's also some raised median techniques that keep people within the lane too, I think, that might be helpful in that area. That's my question. Thanks, Vice Mayor.
Okay. There are Councilmember Griswold.
Just to add the interest, this area, Thomas Road there is wider than Power Road across there. Up until a couple years ago, there was no stoplight, traffic light there, and kids would walk across almost six lanes of traffic to an elementary school, no crossing guard, and no light. That was really exciting in those days.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions by the council members? I have a motion and a second for approval of the zoning of the site plan modification, which was the planning and zoning case. Once again, we'll look at design review. If this passes, if the motion passes, we'll go on to 21C. If it does not pass, 21C becomes moot. All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Griswold voting nay, and the mayor absent. All right, we're moving on to item 21C, which is the design review case. And Councilmember Griswold, you said you didn't sit in design review. Well, tonight you do, my dear. So tonight we are looking at the design review of the Force Capital Office Building at 6712 East Raft River Street. We have just seen that. Rob, if we can please have the very condensed version here.
I think you've heard it all on that building, and so I'll address the comments on that. Save you.
All right. Can you? We're having a hard time seeing your photo that's down there. If you could just lift that up so that. Oh, short jokes. I see.
I'm as tall as you are.
Mr. Whalen said he can't see it either. So if you could just put it up, please. There, so we can see what that looks like. That would be helpful. Is there one to go up on the Elmo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got on the PowerPoint here.
Yeah, we had one on the Elmo.
Or on your PowerPoint would be fine. Ah, thank you. We have an easel that's coming your way.
There you go.
Um, So, Mr. Bender, you're going to be the spokesperson on this one, and we'll give you 5 minutes. You don't have to take all five minutes, but we're going to give you 5 minutes.
I promise. I hope I can get done less than that.
Okay.
Because I don't have to do the spiel, the lead-in, anyway.
Sure.
Again, I'm representing the Red Mountain Social Club, and we're appealing the approval of the design. It was just mentioned a few minutes ago that this design was breaking out of the box. And I guess we feel the community as a whole needs these type of projects, but the trouble is we only have 1 acre left within a developed, 20-year developed planned residential community with 1 acre left. Why does this have to be the place to break out of the box? We disagree that this is the point that has to be made. I also heard just a little bit ago about the complaint about the Riverview site looking industrial, the office complex that they're proposing. I guess we look at this building as the type of building that would fit into an industrial site. Again, it just doesn't fit the type of planned residential community we have. As a matter of fact, as homeowners in there, we have strict restrictions on what we can paint, how we can paint, and any other kind of development. Again, keep in mind, 1 square mile, and this is the last 1 acre. At the P&Z meeting, the applicant described this project as a bold statement, cutting edge, a new image, and pushing the envelope. We have always used the word modern, but I think this better describes this project. The applicant has used some words that we hadn't used before. As a matter of fact, when we went to the design review board, one of the board members said it looked nautical. And he said, you know, it kind of fit Raft River for being nautical. But I guess the point was, it really, as neighbors, we don't live on the Houston Ship Channel. So I don't think we need anything nautical for the neighborhood. Why is this design not compatible with the neighborhood? You've already approved a two-story design, but I guess the color is part of it is what's called, Dunn Underwoods is battleship gray. There's ornamental metal columns, the type of balconies, the windows, all reflect a design that's not compatible with the surrounding buildings. Mayor and council, I guess vice mayor, The residents of Red Mountain Ranch don't want a building design that looks like an office building. We want a design that fits into the neighborhood. And I know some of you have been involved in the planning and design of the office down at the corner of McKellips and Val Vista, southeast corner. There was a design that fit into the neighborhood. Since you've approved a two-story design already, what can a two-story design look like that still could be contemporary, give a statement, but yet not over the top? This is one down on in Chandler, South Chandler, near Ocotillo Lakes. Again, it's not southwest, but it's not modern. It's contemporary. It has a roof line that could be tiled to match the tile in the neighborhood. It has stone, and the windows aren't intrusive. The applicant, a little bit ago, said two things. He said this is kind of a see-through building, and then he turned around and said it was almost a solid wall facing Raft River. So you can't have it both ways. So with that, I won't take up any more of your time, but we would like you to ask the applicant to relook at this design to make it more compatible with the neighborhood. And make this community be proud of what we have in terms of neighborhood services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to address the issue of the sameness issue, because I think Red Mountain Ranch, and my house included, is the old adage, the sameness. We all have the same color beige. Nobody stands out on Red Mountain Ranch. All the homes are exactly the same. yes, you know, this is a taste issue, and our client chose to go in this direction. And but, you know, where is the precedence for that? We've never allowed that in design review anybody to, if somebody wanted a particular approach, whether it be Wrightian or modern or Southwestern or Tuscany or whatever, we've never legislated a design approach to anybody in the past. All we've ever asked for are good buildings. I think design review recognized that this was a great building. I think planning and zoning recognized this is a great building. And I think the people that are educated in design understand that this is a very sophisticated, very expensive building, and is going to be a great asset to the neighborhood. And so I would ask you to consider that in your decision on this project.
Thank you. There were no other requests to speak. Have I got everything covered?
I think I had submitted another blue card to you, Vice Mayor.
I am so sorry. I apologize. I missed that. Alex Kolitz had a request to speak, and I apologize, Mr. Kolitz. I set it aside so I'd get to it and didn't get to it.
No problem. My name is Alex Kolitz at 506 East Lehigh, and I didn't come here for this, but as I'm sitting through and listening to this, I felt that it's something that should be said, and that is with regards to the design. The property is not a, what do you want to call it, a homeowners association. It does not have regulations requiring how it needs to look at as far as other buildings around it. It's a private property, and I think the private property rights of the owner should take precedence, as long as it's a quality design, not, you know, rubbish that's being put up. Let's see. And I mean, give any design 20 years, and it's all going to look dated anyway. So I mean, what we're looking at is trying to compare it against designs today, against the houses around there in that area. And then as far as everything looking the same, diversity adds character, and that's one thing that I've had a gripe against in this community after being down here in Arizona for about 8-9 years and seeing all the houses that look the same. And a lot of, I'm also in the sign business and design, and I take a look at the sign regulations, and it comes to the same thing where when you have everything looks the same, nothing stands out and adds character to your community. And what's being applied to this building could be said for other businesses in town and other residential buildings that you need to add more diversity and design to the area. And I think it's a good looking building. I think the owner has the right to put this there. They've obviously been improved as far as structure is concerned. From a design perspective, it's something that's well within their right to construct. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Were there any other requests to speak?
None, Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Council member questions, comments? Councilmember Rawls.
I made a motion. I didn't know whether you knew what it was, since this is such a different animal.
I would like it to be on the record, whatever the motion is.
I'm making a motion to approve the project as designed and approved by the Design Review Board.
Okay. I have a motion, and I have a second by Councilmember Jones. Council discussion. Councilmember Summers.
I'm just going to chime in here because I'm trying to figure out which way I'm going to go, but I think ultimately I'm going to have to approve this. But I'm doing so with a little bit of trepidation. Quite frankly, when I've seen a lot of these developments over the last year coming into neighborhoods, and it seems to me that the owners of this property, although I agree they have a right to do, to build a building, and really it should be this council that decides only on based on public safety and some other issues, none of which have been raised here, and the C2 does allow for two-story, so we should allow for the two-story. I wouldn't have designed this building. I would have tried to make it fit in better with the neighborhood if I were the owner, and I wish the owner would have worked better with the neighbors to put together a design that looked nicer. That said, unfortunately, or fortunately, they have a right to do that. It's not part of an HOA. There's no legal requirement to do that. It's just regrettable that this is what's going to stand out in a neighborhood that is all but developed and has a certain look to it. I do agree it's a nice-looking building. I just would look great downtown. And I think we do need some diversity, but I think there's also an argument to be made for flavor in certain neighborhoods too. But again, I have to fall back to the base and saying that there's a little bit of a right here for property. They had a right to two-story, and I don't necessarily agree that the council has a right to say that's ugly and we should wipe it out and start over. So with a little bit of regret, I'm going to have to agree with us and vote yes.
Okay. Other comments? All right. I am going to vote in favor of the motion, and my rationale actually is very similar to what Mr. Kolitz said when he, I thought when he started talking, I thought, well, he just gave my speech that I was going to give. Perhaps if I had been designing Red Mountain Ranch at the beginning, I would have included this as part of the HOA, and I would have included this with part of the design standards. It wasn't included that way. It was excluded, and as a result, you have a parcel here that the individual has a right to build something that has that meets design guidelines for the city. It's a rational design. I don't know whether I would design it or not. It's an attractive building, but there are many buildings around the community that I probably wouldn't design particularly that way because I have my own set of tastes. I just don't think that I can say to them, you aren't meeting a design guideline that was never part of the original compact with Red Mountain Ranch. It probably is something that should have been looked at. The original developer should have looked at the entire site. And going all the way out to Thomas, all the way up, it would have been the way to do it. But I don't feel that I have the right to impose something, a condition today, that has not existed on the property since it was originally subdivided into this lot. So for that reason, I will vote to approve the motion. Any other discussion? All right, would you please vote? The motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Griswold voting nay, and the mayor is absent. And thank you all for taking the time to be here tonight. Thank you for your concern for your neighborhood. It's a wonderful neighborhood, and we hope that you will continue to be involved and concerned. Thank you. All right, moving on to item number 22, which is authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with the Mesa Convention and Visitors Bureau to continue promoting tourism and convention business in Mesa. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers. I've seconded that motion. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I want to start by apologizing to Mr. Britton. My colleagues have to put up with my philosophical position sometimes, and therefore that causes them some delay. You have had to sit here for several hours, but I do apologize, and I owe you lunch or something for making you sit here through this. But I do have a problem with the use of taxpayer monies, no matter how they're collected, to promote just one industry versus others in a community. So I will vote no, with sincere regrets for the delay.
We have it on the record. You will be getting a lunch. You have witnesses, Robert. Councilmember Summers.
I will say to Councilmember Rawls, I thought it was easy to, when you stick to your guns like that forever and a day, I thought it was easy to do that until my last vote, and I realized that's not so easy to do sometimes. But on the other hand, while I understand where you're coming from, a significant portion of this city's revenue, the things we pay for police and fire and courts and parks and public safety, other public safety issues, raised through tourism, through sales tax dollars. So for that, I have made the motion to approve. Thank you.
And I believe you serve as the liaison to the CVB from this council.
And I hope that's not a conflict.
It's not a
conflict. I'm hearing it's not.
It's just volunteer time. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, please vote.
If you don't have baseball, it's not America.
Did you want to put that on the record? With a motion carries with 5 ayes, Councilmember Rawls voting nay, and the mayor is absent. All right. Have we covered it all except items from citizens present? Have we gotten through the agenda? All right,
yes,
we have some speakers.
We have two speakers, Vice right. Mayor. First one's David Bush.
Mr. Bush, you have 3 minutes. You are a very patient man for sitting here all evening.
Don't start yet. My name is David Bush. I live at 6854 East Laguna Azul, Mesa. And I think what I'm going to present, that you've heard this before, but I think it's worthwhile. It should tickle your moral button more than anything else we've heard tonight. And it has to do with the Pledge of Allegiance. And it comes from a story, a testimony from John McCain when he was a prisoner of war in Hanoi. As you may know, I spent 5.5 years as a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. In the early years of our imprisonment, the North Vietnam Army kept us solitary confinement of two or three to a cell. In 1971, the North NVA moved us from these conditions of isolation into large rooms with as many as 30 to 40 men to a room. This was, as you can imagine, a wonderful change and was direct result of the efforts of millions of Americans on behalf of a few hundred POWs 10,000 miles from home. One of the men who moved into my room was a young man named Mike Christian. Mike came from a small town near Selma, Alabama. He didn't wear a pair of shoes until he was 13 years old. At 17, he enlisted in the Navy. He later earned a commission by going to the officer training school. Then he became a naval flight officer and was shot down and captured in 1967. Mike had a keen sense and deep appreciation of the opportunities of this country and our military provide for our people who want to work and who want to succeed. As a part of our change in treatment, the Vietnamese allowed some prisoners to receive packages from home. In some of these packages were handkerchiefs, scarves, and other items of clothing. Mike got himself a bamboo needle. Over a period of a couple of months, he created an American flag and sewed it on the inside of his shirt. Every afternoon, before we had a bowl of soup, we would hang Mike's shirt on the wall of the cell and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I know the Pledge of Allegiance may not seem the most important part of our day now, but I can assure you that it was stark in that stark cell, it was indeed the most important and meaningful event. One day the Vietnamese searched our cell, as they did periodically, and discovered Mike's shirt with a flag showing inside and removed it. That evening they returned, opened the door of the cell, and for the benefit of us all, beat Mike Christian severely for the next couple of hours. Then they opened the door of the cell and threw him in. We cleaned him up as well as we could. The cell in which we lived had a concrete slab in the middle of which we slept. Four naked light bulbs hung in each corner of the room. As I said, we tried to clean up Mike as well as we could. After the excitement had died down, I looked in the corner of the room and sitting there beneath that dim light bulb with a piece of red cloth, another shirt, and his bamboo needle was my friend Mike Christian. He was sitting there with his eyes almost shut from the beating he had received, making another American flag. He was not making the flag because it made Mike Christian feel better. He was making that flag because he knew how important it was to us to be able to pledge our allegiance to our flag and country.
Sir, I've given you a little bit extra time, but your time is up, so I need you to wrap up.
Thank you. So the next time you say the Pledge of Allegiance, never forget the sacrifice and courage that thousands of Americans have made to build our nation and promise freedom around the world. We must remember our duty, honor, and country.
Thank you. Thank you for being here this evening.
Next speaker is Alex Cullett.
Hello, my name is Alex Cullett of 506 East Lehigh Road, and this is the reason why I'm here today. I am a board member of the Mesa Veterans Parade Association, and as such, I want to give an update on some of the things that we're doing and where we're moving as far as the Veterans Day Parade is concerned. We've conducted a fundraiser on Saturday, and we raised $6,500 for the parade. It was a very good fundraiser. We're going to have another one. It's a poker tournament held at Fort McDowell Casino on October 6th. And we expect that to be better than this one. They've been very kind in helping us put on this fundraiser. So we will be putting on another Veterans Day parade this year. We also have, with American Legion, is putting on a dinner. They're contributing all the proceeds from the dinner to the Veterans Day Parade Association, our Veterans Parade Association. And it's going to be a barbecue dinner. Adult cost is going to be $627, around there somewhere. Under 12 is $3, and that's going to be August 4th from 12 to 5 p.m. And that's going to be at the back hall of the American Legion. I think that's it. The only thing I'd like to add is if the council is
Obviously, we had some difficulty last year in getting the parade going, but I'd like to see if the council can provide other, obviously not cash, but other things that can help us in producing the parade this year. So if there's anything that you'd like to talk about and see what you can do to help us out, it certainly be appreciated. I'm sure the veterans in this city would appreciate it, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more speakers?
None, Vice Mayor.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned.